What's up, everybody? Welcome to Tell It How It Is, No Filter. I'm Voice of Reason. Thanks for joining me. It's another segment. Let's go. Appreciate all the feedback. Appreciate all the suggestions. Subscribe to the channel, Voice of Reason, NF, one word, one time. Like, comment, share. All feedback is appreciated, good or bad. Shout out to my Spotify listeners, everyone who taps in on the audio, I'm grateful. Also, shout out all the people who interact with me face-to-face about it. Anyone that's given any type of ideas, any type of energy at all, I can't thank you enough. Let's roll. I heard about Shannon Sharp having a podcast. Nothing bad or good to say about that. I'm just saying, I haven't tapped into it, and I don't know what made me out of nowhere tap in for one. Is that Ocho Cinco with him? I believe so. Chad, one of them guys. I know, because the focus wasn't sports. You know, I was listening to what they had to say. These are sports guys. Anyway, Shannon Sharp says, love will kill you and keep you alive to feel it. One more time. Love will kill you and keep you alive to feel it. What you want me to tell you? Listen. You are supposed to... And I'm taking that from a man's point. I don't know how universal he was making that, like, as if, you know, we're talking to the women too. And I'm not saying that women can't also look at this and understand it and, you know, that they don't deal with it. But I'm taking it from a man's perspective. So, whoa, it's tough to break down. Anyway, yeah, when you love naturally, genuinely, because, you know, they talk, men do things and, you know, they want to say that we're like all these negative things when dealing with women and, you know, very promiscuous, girl, woman to woman, we jump, you know, we coerce for sex, we we like variety, we don't want to, you know, just settle. You know, we do all of these things that, you know, are not favorable in some of the women's eyes sometimes. And I don't know if that's like a reputation that we hold. Some women are very strong-minded and confident to not look at it that all men are a certain way or all men are this. You know what I mean? So, you know, shout out to those women who have this strong mind, who don't judge all men, you know, regardless of what happened to them or regardless of what they've happened to their friends. You know what I mean? You take it as your experience. You know, some things teach you a lesson. Some things are your lesson. Some things are your rock. Some things are that knife. Sorry to say. So with that being said, when you're being genuine, fellas, and you fell for someone, going back to pods before, love hurts because you fall. What happens when you fall? You hurt yourself, right? Little, go back to that segment to see that. But yeah, when you was genuine and it didn't work out, and you know, you really didn't do what typically people think tears a relationship up or breaks y'all apart, when it wasn't the norm, you know what I mean? And sorry to say that toxic is the norm as far as like cheating, God forbid, any type of abuse or just toxic in general, you know what I mean? So when, and even in those cases, it can still hurt that it ends, you know what I mean? So I don't know how specific he was being, but I'm gonna take it as things were genuine. You know, the guy in the situation was on the up and up for the most part, and it still didn't work out. And the whole kill you and keep you alive is because you gotta sit in it. You know what I mean? You can't really run from it. You would think guys can handle this because of all of our other things we handle in life, you know, with the whole waking up every day to hustle and doing it again and not really being able to cry or complain about it or having a shoulder to lean on. Like, no matter how you're feeling as a guy, as a man, you have to get up every day. and do this shit again. I say that all the time. I can't stress it enough. So we don't really get a minute to sit and shit when it comes to that. So now to tell us this in our personal, in our who we selected as a partner, you telling us to, you know, it will kill you and keep you alive to feel it. You would think based on our other talents of having to just get it, that we could get out of this quick as well, or put it to the side, or just keep going. But no, I think mental is way more important than physical. I've also said that in other pods, that you're going to keep going. You strong. You got to keep going. You got to get up every day. But when do you really get a minute to sit in it? But I get what he's saying. The fellas, you got to sit in it. That shit hurt like a motherfucker. But you got to sit and just to yourself sometimes. It's quiet. No noise. Maybe some meditation music if you want to get, you know, get with a therapist. But you're going to have to really do the diagnostics to get over it. Keep you alive to feel it. It's crazy because now that's kind of like saying even when you think you moved on and when you think you may heal, that you still going to feel it. And I don't know, people are judgy. People want to comment and think they know how each individual should handle a certain situation. But you can move on, but also realize what you've been through, and a part of you never really fully, you know, when you do surgery on whatever's wrong with you, right? The surgery could be successful, but I feel like it's never 100%. You perfect now. They've repaired 90 whatever percent. I'm not even gonna put a number. I'm gonna say 90 and above if it was successful that the surgery, you know, was. But there's still a percentage that ain't right. And that's the same thing with this to me. It's like, even I don't care how much time passed, I don't care who you move on to, you gonna always have that percentage. So I think that's where he said keep you alive to feel it. But either way, you do gotta sit in it, man. Your therapist will tell you probably that in the first meet. You know what I mean? You can't run away from it. You can't do things that distract but so much. You do your responsible things that you do every day anyway, but you can't run from that. You can't run from that. So I thought that that was a very interesting statement. You can, again, the family or the friends that you truly, genuinely trust and confiding normally. See, here's where it gets a little tricky. If there are things that you haven't had someone to fully pour out to, like, come on, like little things at work. I mean, I'm not trying to measure what bothers you, but you know, stuff that bothers you at work, maybe finances, maybe like a divorce, maybe child support. These are just subjects I'm pulling out the air. Maybe you've spoke to people about these things, you know what I mean? Or there's people who also deal with those things that you can go to and talk to. But when it's something that you really never experienced, hardly ever, or it's just the heaviest of the times you've dealt with it, and you really don't have the confidence, not in yourself, but the confidence in the people you may bring that to guide you. And here go Cap. They're going to say that, no, you just don't want to hear the truth. It's not about that. You know, when somebody goes through something, they may need to hear an outside voice on it. But the healing process is delicate, man or woman. So you can be a little bit abrasive about the approach, especially if you genuinely love them and you're just trying to help them get through it. But this is why you got to sit in it. Because you probably got to sit in it and deal with it yourself. Like I said, the therapist, the meditation music may help. And when you're good enough, then if you want to bring somebody you think you can trust to confide in, then you can do that. But I'm going to go a step further and say, if you do all the work and you sit in it yourself, you may never have to get to that. You know, you may have to speak on it because it was your life. So you may have to eventually say something, but you ain't got to go in looking for the emotional support behind it. And I'm talking, again, from fellas' point of view. I don't know if women run, go tell that soon as the shit pop. You know, some women are stronger than that, and they realize that you got to sit in it, too. You know what I mean? So I'm not really judging what path you take to choose to get through something that is very hard. You know what I mean? I'm not going to specify what it is. Just anything that you may not have experienced before or is just taking a toll on you. You got to sit in it. You got to sit in it. All right, go with that one. Go with that one. Because we are human, we don't tap into our full potential, usually in multiple areas. If you do, I think that's when life may be complete and your spirit can rest in peace. Truly, business-wise, love-wise, for example, these areas shine fully at different times in most cases. If you're able to shine fully in both, that's dope. Yeah, someone gave me that one too. It's kind of long. True. So, not to get philosophical on you. The brain has neurons, like 86 million, right? They say that we use more than 10% of our brain at a time for sure. That was a saying they said. It's bogus. The thing is, neurons, you know, kind of like do its thing separately. Meaning, if one part of the brain is at, is firing, it takes away from the other parts from firing. Like, there's no, because of these millions of neurons, none of them are both peaking at the same time. If more than one does work, they all work, but the percentages are all over the place. Because it's like when one fires, it's draining the others. Go into psychology if you want. But I say that to say it's hard for us, and that's why they say it's good to have like a focus on one thing at a time. You know, put your all into a belief, put your all into a plan, and then once it executes to a level of satisfaction, then you can do other things. So when we use the business and love example, is that with your business, whether it's your own business or a career where you find yourself there a lot, you know, if you're doubling up, you know, usually the work week is 40 hours. If you're doing 40 hours and your love life is dope and you're happy with the 40 hours financially and mentally, and it gets you, you know, you pay your bills and you live comfortably off those 40 hours, and then your love life is great, you know what I mean? Then cool. It's still not your peak, though, full potential. And it's not a judgment thing. It's like it's okay. It's like if you're able to live this life with just giving a job 40 hours and the love life is full potential, cool. But it's like we saying, it's both at the same time hard. Now go to the other side of it. You do 80 hours in 1 week instead of the 2 weeks. So you're there. Now, the love life might take a toll on that. That's not the full potential. So don't beat yourself up here because it's hard. And these are just two examples. There's people who got a lot of things they want to get done. A lot of things they see, you know, for them. So if just those two is hard to juggle, it's okay. There's no judgment here. People are just getting by. People are doing what they got to do. You know, strength is very important, mental and physical strength. Because if we're aware that we're not going to be able to be great at all things at once, whoever has our back, whoever stands by our side should understand that. And then y'all should be good. But y'all may not be the happiest all the time. Because if work gets all of the attention and the full potential, especially from a man's perspective, he's trying to make sure the house is good, everything's good, and we all right. So that's why it'll take a toll there. If he's kind of complacent and doing the 40, and then he's days around, some people are family-oriented like that, and they want that type of energy all the time, and they're more happy. So it's all about you, you and yours. So there's no right or wrong way here with this. I don't really judge this. I'm just saying it's just a thought that, you know, our full potential can eventually spread out in various areas. And I think, you know, not to get all spiritually, you know, gifted on you, but I think our souls and our spirits can rest in peace when we die. If we have put almost the full potential to everything that we were supposed to. That's when your spirit rests in peace. You know, you want to sit there. We can sit there and look at how many people's lives was cut short. Were they on their way to full potential? Did they get there? You're going to look at short and say, hell no. How could they? I don't know about all of that. I don't know to tap in and comment on why we taking short, some of us. Why so randomly and so out of nowhere with it. All these random acts, whether violently, sickness, ill. I can't speak on that. But what I'm saying is I do feel that the spirit and the soul can move on peacefully if you damn near gave your full potential in all that you should have. That's all I'm saying. Keep it rolling. Huh. Women pay for dates. They just don't like y'all. No one gave me that. I saw that somewhere and thought that was hilarious. Fellas, let's not waste any neurons on this, huh? In the brain. If you are the aggressor as expected, you pursue, you want to see what's up, just pay for the date, bruh. Just pay for the date. Don't even get into all of this because I can't even entertain this statement, even though it's funny, to even find out whether I'm liked or not, because I'm not going on a date and expecting them to pay. We had conversations in the past where it's like, okay, after how many dates, at least off a tip, or, you know, now communication is flowing a little more, or so I hope, some kind of things are getting drawn up. You know what I'm saying? Going out on a date and meeting someone is like someone sitting there drawing from scratch. They're drawing an image, and you want to get to what the image is when the person drawing is completed, right? So I may be going over for you right now. Don't let that go over your head. But as you date, you interact, you communicate, y'all talk about subjects, areas, things, likenesses, this and that. When you might could tap into when does the woman pay or tip or something. But if this is off the fresh, out the gate, out the box, fellas, my advice, you can take it or not, you know, respect however approach you do, just pay for the date. You're not even going to get, you shouldn't even get to this entertainment for you to be one of these that don't like y'all. You'll find out. Now, I do agree that what, where, and what you spend, that can be talked. We could talk that talk. Because I don't think you should be on the first date going all out. See, I'm stuttering. Because I get so, like, passionate about this shit. Going all out when you don't know each other really. You don't really know how it's going to go. So you definitely, I'm not saying you're going to Applebee's. Shout out Booby Trap Queen. That is her pet peeve, boy. You cannot take her to... Anyway. But it should be cost efficient because you don't really know. This is a, we get in the sea. And that's why I definitely say you should pay. You know what I mean? Because you got to be strategic. You know, the more you like them, the more it's going somewhere. Then you can get a little extravagant with it. I know there's some very successful men above 6 figures a year that go, listen, if I'm going out, shout out AMS. If I'm going out and I want some good steak and that's the week I meet my date, or that's the week we going out, then she's going to get steak because I wanted steak, not to impress her. And there's some men, you know, if your budget, if your funds are lit like that, and you, that's how you move, go ahead. But I'm just saying, for the middle class and for the, you know, and then, voice of reason for real. I don't really want to judge it like it's based on your finances. I still feel this way whether you have 6 figures a year or just 30, 40 grand a year. I still feel you should ease up on that. Stop trying to impress them with your pockets. You know what I mean? That's all on that. Women are emotional when it comes to sex and who they give their body to in a lot of cases. So how does this affect female porn stars? Oh, Lord. You definitely need a woman and a freaking regular woman and a porn star woman to come here and answer this. I doubt I ever have a porn star as a guest, but yeah, you never know. I don't know. They're looking at it from a money standpoint. You know, it's a check. It's a job. You know, some women do admit that they enjoy sex a lot. You know, that was never the question. Like, just a traditional woman, you know, who was raised by traditional parents, you know, it's going to say, you know, one partner at a time, religion or not, treated special, our body parts, we shouldn't just be giving it away frivolously, value in that, body counts. These are all pressures directly or indirectly on, I guess, women with how they move and what, you know, what they choose to do. But their sexuality is their sexuality, and that is very fluent for most, you know. So a porn star, I feel like, I guess she's able to numb it and just do it. You know what I mean? I would, again, you can't really expect me to give you the greatest answer here because I know women to have emotions when they have sex. So if they're doing porn, and I've seen a lot of porn to know, yeah, I'm a man now, I said it, that I don't see in the scenes, at least, I've never really watched a behind the scenes. I that's a little bit weird for me. Like, you know, guys who watch porn, women who watch porn, cool, but do you watch the behind the scenes? I don't really think so, but that's each his own. But I don't know. Like, they look like they just in the acting of it, and that's that. Some might get real enjoyment from it. Some may have social awkwardness or interactionness, especially since men are supposed to be the aggressor. So maybe some of these porn star women had real difficulties dating. And this may actually be an exhibition project for them where it's like, okay, I really don't interact with men well. Things don't go the way I like. You know, they don't like their options. Whatever they tell themselves or whatever they actually go through. So the porn, you know, at least, even though it's acting, you still feel that. That's why it's so tricky to answer this and understand it. Because even though it's acting and it's porn, that shit is really happening. You're really coming. You're really having an orgasm most of the time. I guess, you know, some women could challenge it and say, no, they don't. You know, the scene is just the scene. But it goes until the potential of that. So you can't really minus that. Like, you're getting the real feel even in an acting stage. So I don't know. That's some real mental shit. And fellas, we should think on that. Like, that's how mentally tricky women are. Because in one sense, if it's mental and emotional, how are you able to do that? And I'm not sitting here judging women that do porn. It's just that, how could you take someone like that serious? They're dangerous. And I'm not saying they shouldn't get love, but maybe they should fuck with a porn star. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know female porn stars that have a regular dude. I mean, it's possible. Was it Adam 22, I think? But that's too challenging for me. I know that. For myself, I can't be with a female porn star. You know, I used to have a little thing for Monique Divine, I think her name is. You know, my real fellas, you know that I seen her one time and she was very, like, down to earth. And, you know, she interact and I got a picture, I think. So she was dope. She was cool as hell in person. But I don't think, no matter what, that I could take her serious. Not to jab her, but, you know, I'm giving you a life actual experience for someone I actually interacted with. And I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do it. You know what I mean? Some things are true about, you know, opposites don't always have to attract. Sometimes you do, and you should deal with what you do, celebrities and all. You know what I mean? It's hard for a celebrity chick to date a regular dude. And I'm not talking about those exceptions to the rule. You do whatever you want. Some people like a challenge. Some people like when the odds are against them from the gate to overcome it. I'm definitely used to highly advocate for that. Highly. I love when the odds are against me to prove that I can overcome. And I'm fucking worth it. Hold that one. So, that's it on that, though. But that is a tough one. That is a tough one. Okay. So I was given this one for sure. If women over 40 aren't willing to have sex almost immediately after a good vibe, they aren't attracted to you enough, fellas. Clearly somebody over 40 gave me that. That was dope. So do we really have to put an age on it? I want to say that all ages, in this current 2024, even if you want to say in 2023, but I think whether you want to judge it as good or bad, go back to how people care about people and how you view them. So, you know, if they got a group of friends, they're going to be like, that's the promiscuous friend over there. But it's not really. So if you want to stick with just the 40, fine. I get that. And men didn't wait till 40 to feel or respect that or want that. I feel like once guys have hit their sexual peak, which was early on, and I always advocate that there's two stages of their sexual peak. I believe it's somewhere in their 20s, and I do feel it resurfaces at 40 or late 30s. I just feel that way as a theory. So we with the smoke. So we would love this statement because it kind of does tell. You know what I mean? Now, I know there's some women that would listen to this and try to, like, throw us off. Nah. No matter what, I want to talk and engage. I'm looking for something further. I don't want this to lead with sex. I want us to see what other things we have in common and how we vibe before we even get to that. Because remember, I did a segment about women are tired of men leading and only talking about sex. We can arm wrestle this for decades. It's each his own. Everything I say here, it's my shit. So you don't have to agree. I'm not trying to influence the younger lads under me in a bad way per se. I'm just telling what I think. And you know, you could take some things from this as useful and some things you can question, but it still makes you tap in and at least be aware of shit. So that's getting off the subject a little bit. Fellas, we love this, don't we? Shout out to the one who gave me this, because that's real rap. So go ahead. Go back to the things I said, guys. Don't think about dates and who pays. Pay the date. Vibe out. Be your authentic self. You know, I don't know how much information you want to give versus not give, but be authentic. Be a vibe. And there you have it, especially for us fellas over the 40s club. You know what I mean? You go out on a date. If it ain't going down, and see, I didn't even be like a savage and say the first date. Immediately could be within the first 3 dates. And that's how often, because a date could be once a week. So I think the person who gave me this damn near meant the first date, though. And we love it. We all for that. But within the first 3 dates. And yes, I think the main message here with the over 40 is that we ain't got a lot of time. We don't gotta act desperate like we're gonna die tomorrow. But we know, especially if that second phase of our sexual peak hit, that we wanna get busy. Come on. We wanna get busy and know what that is. And then, you know, we can still determine things. I think women, sorry, get distracted. Think that that's a distraction to just go in physically. And now that kind of, like, tampers with the potential. Or there's another story, I don't know. But for fellas, I keep telling women, this does not determine how y'all are going to be. As far as, like, some people get over, some people, you know, they only want what they could get out of it. And they use and abuse. And it's only for what benefits them. But that's just a thing. Whether you were told the sex or not, that type of person who's not for you is not going to be for you. Now, if you want to figure that out and escape that situation without giving your body up, cool. Cool. I know I was rambling a little bit, but if that's the message here, you want to know if this guy is a potential guy for you, for future, for your knight in shining armor. And if he's not, you want to escape the situation without giving your body. That's the only thing I could co-sign and write for y'all. Fine, cool. But back to the statement, though. If we just saying, you know what? I don't have that type of bar set. I'm out here dating. I want to see the vibes. And if it clicks enough, because there's still certain, we still got to meet certain requirements, ladies. In our head anyway, we got to meet certain requirements to even get into the conversation of immediate sex. We got to be a vibe. We got to create an experience. So I don't understand the problem. Like, if that's just not you, cool. But I don't think that the world thinks that way. Don't think that the world thinks that way. A lot of people are like, listen, I go out. It's a vibe. I'm fucking. Mostly all guys think that. But like, when you bring the women in, and if they want to say it's a 40s and up club that feels that way, fine. If it's a vibe, you know what I mean? Because what's going to happen happens anyway. And a lot of people are coming with their representatives. So they're going to play nice and play good anyway if all they want is sex as long as they could and drag it out till they finally get it. So if he's a piece of shit and you sleep with him right away, he ain't gonna do the representative shit unless that shit was so fire he wanna at least ensure a couple more times. And the world is ugly. It's a cold world. This is not a way to think. Everyone shouldn't think this way or feel like what I'm saying is 100% valid. What I'm saying is I stand behind this statement. I'm sorry. I want to know, or I want it to be that clear, that if you ain't rock out with me like that, that you ain't attracted enough to me. You know what I mean? And that's fine. Okay. You feel or remember the energy from a dream, even if you don't necessarily remember the dream. Now, this is from me. That happened because I used to assume that every time we go to sleep, we dream. Almost every time you go to sleep, I think something's going down. How long it is it for the entire sleep? Maybe not. Maybe it's not a right away as soon as you fall asleep. At some point in your hours of sleep, I used to feel that there's a dream going on. So it's very hard to remember a lot of them. I think there was probably 2 to 3 times I might think I had remembered the entire dream. Maybe 3 times. And who's to say if I'm like accurate on what I think I dreamed? But let's get off of that. I do feel if you dream, when you wake up, the energy is there from the dream. Meaning, if it was a good dream, a successful dream, you know, something that's tied to what you want to happen for your life for real, and you dreamed it, I feel like your energy will, you know, you'll feel it, like a drive in you, adrenaline or energetic. You know, you'll wake up. You don't know some mornings or whenever you do wake up that you wake up with a little bop in your step, like you feel a little more, let's get the day going. You know what I mean? Versus the days you kind of get up and you sluggish. Now, that could be due to being tired. That could be a day you didn't dream at all. You're just tired. But now, if it was a dream that wasn't so good, or you had to work hard in that dream, or that dream was draining, I feel like you also wake up drained. And that might get more philosophical to say, well, if you were dreaming, that means you didn't, if you had a bad dream, you didn't get proper rest. Because every time you go to sleep doesn't mean you get the proper rest. You're just taking that time off. You're just trying to refuel as best as you can. But it's not every time you lay down you get proper rest. And I would assume that adding this dream factor, good or bad, can affect that, truly. You know what I mean? So keep that in mind. Tell me if you agree with that. I would love comments back on that. You know, when you dream, if you don't remember it, you will remember the energy, or you will feel the energy when you wake up. That's it on that. Pet peeve, small pet peeve, is actually just funny. It's actually not a huge deal, but it just irritated me because this past week I've had chicken over rice more than once. You know, like the fake Chipotle, because, you know, them trucks. When I get chicken over rice from a truck and there are lamb pieces in it, I didn't ask for chicken and lamb over rice. I asked for chicken over rice. I know you're saying I'm being anal. Maybe it's an accident. Maybe they, you know, they mix it because they fucking mix everything together. So, of course, there might be one or two in there. But that was just to point out something current that irritated me a little bit. You know, one out of the two actually wasn't as bad. Like the one plate that had like, it had maybe a piece and a half of lamb. But this other cat, it was like 5-6 pieces. And I'm like, I didn't ask for chicken and lamb over rice. I asked for chicken over rice. Let's get that tight. Not a big deal, though. So, to the next time, stay safe, stay productive, stay positive. Your day is coming. Peace.